This is ACC Nation.
Chris, I am glad to see that you are here and you're in a pretty good mood. I was afraid maybe I would have to coach you off a bridge someplace, or that, you know, I would come into the studio and there would be holes in the wall after last Saturday. Your Cavaliers, they didn't look too good.
Well, it'd be hard to be upset about that performance, though, because I've been saying for a couple of years that the people responsible for that performance should be replaced. So, actually, it feeds into my mania as far as that goes.
So, I know, but you are, yeah, that's right. So, maybe that's what Virginia fans want. The ones that want Al Groh out, they're rooting for a disastrous season.
Gosh,
because a mediocre season probably doesn't get him out. A disaster season maybe gets him out.
You know what we're really having to identify ourselves with here is going into Charlottesville this weekend. I'm going to be going as a fan. I'll be sitting in the stands rooting for Duke. I feel like I'm going to be rooting for Duke there.
Yeah, because if Duke wins that game, no, Al Groh's not going to be fired on the spot. But, wow, he's all of a sudden gone from the guy that I've been saying all along, he's on a hot seat, but I don't think he's in danger of losing his job, to a guy that I think is really close to losing his job.
If they lose the game, he might not be fired on the spot, but he might not get too far into the tunnel.
I don't think they'll lose the game. We'll make our weekend picks later on in the show. And, you know, right now, I'm saying I'm not going to pick Duke. You know,
I'm toying with it.
Well, yeah, go ahead, toy with it. But I just don't think that'll happen. A couple other things before we get into the meat of the show, Chris. I got owe him an apology, maybe. He's one of our regulars on our ACCNation.com making comments. And last week he said, I remember to use his name when I talked about him. He criticized me talking about massages. Remember that? And I used his name. Then last week when I said that a reader to our blog had corrected us, or a listener to the show had corrected us on the last game in the Orange Bowl. Remember that? It was actually Fred Terp that made that correction. He said, Miami, Virginia is not the last game in the Orange Bowl. Florida International and somebody is the last game. So I said, and on the show, I did not mention him. So he sent posted a message or sent me an email or something this week saying, hey, you know, you mention my name when you're saying that I criticized you, but you don't mention my name when I give you good information. So there you go.
Fred Terp gave us a correction, though. It's still criticism. You got something wrong.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, Fred Terp deserves some praise something.
We should hire him as our editor.
That's true. We need somebody. Coming up on the show today, Chris, Eric Prisbell of the Washington Post and Steve Conroy, the Boston Herald, will talk some Boston College football with him. We've got our weekend picks, Sound and Fury around ACC Nation, and much, much more.
This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris. This is ACC Nation, the nation's hottest multimedia sports franchise, ACC Nation, where you'll find worldwide access to America's hottest sports conference, the ACC, through our website, blogs, podcasts, radio, and at myspace.com/ACC Nation. Now, ACC Nation with Patrick Height and Chris Graham.
I got to do this right at the start here, Chris, because if I don't, I'll forget it, and management hates it when I forget this. We want to encourage people to go to accnation.com and, one, vote in our listener survey. It's there so we can actually make this show better for you, the listener. We want to improve the show.
Actually, maybe the listener thinks it's too good and they want us to de-improve.
No, I got to think there's not too many listeners out there that think this is too good. But, you know, just go.
It's possible.
It's possible. We got some crazy person out in Wyoming that likes the show now. Anyway, go to there. Go to the listener survey. It's on the left-hand side of the page. And tell us what you think of the show. But be nice. And also, sign up for our newsletter. We have a newsletter. It's free to you. And some point down the road, we'll give you this inside information. Somewhere down the road, if you're a subscriber to this newsletter, you'll have a chance to win a prize.
A prize.
We're working on that now. But we don't know what those prizes are going to be. But there will be prizes for anybody that's a subscriber to the newsletter. It's absolutely free. You get it in your inbox every Friday. It's a great thing. So go sign up for that. All you have to do is send us an email, accnation@comcast.net, and say, sign me up for the newsletter, and we'll do it. So,
or you just put newsletter, you can just say, sign me up, whatever you want to do.
Whatever, however
we'll
you want to do
it. That's,
well, yeah, we're not too bright, but we'll probably figure that out.
We have people on staff who are, and they'll figure it out.
Look, he says newsletter, sign up. What does that mean?
And I don't
we'll
know.
We'll call people in. We'll have a whole staff meeting.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We'll get the smart guy to do it for us.
Around ACC Nation, Chris, this is something we do every day. We go to big newspapers, little newspapers, every newspaper that covers the Atlantic Coast Conference, and we find stories that we think will be of interest to you. We post links to them. We'll give you a few samples of some of the stories that were on there this week. Now, let's start with the quarterback gate. I don't know, Josh Portis. Here's a guy that we had Heather Denich on from the Baltimore Sun a couple of weeks ago. She was talking about, you know, Jordan Steffi would be the starter, but she thought Josh Portis would get lots of time. He's the most athletic of the bunch. She thought that they would work him in. No, it's not going to happen because he's been suspended for the year for academic problems. It came out today officially, although people had been, this had been the rumor. He cheated on a pop quiz. He cheats on it. It was like 5% of the grade, but they actually talked to Brandon Bullock, a former Maryland student in the process of transferring to East Carolina. Apparently that's who Josh Portis cheated off of. He sat like a row behind this kid and he cheated off his paper and the professor caught him, and Josh Portis is gone. He's still there with the team though. He's practicing, with the team. He's going to be there this year, but he's suspended from playing. So no Josh Portis.
That's interesting. You know, we don't think about this. We don't talk about this on the show a lot, the academic issues that certainly are, we're talking about college sports here, but wow. I mean, you're talking about a kid who transferred from Florida, a lot of acclaim when he comes in, and cheats on a pop quiz. As simple as that, he's gone.
A pop quiz. I don't know. Maybe if you're going to cheat on an exam that's going to mean, you know, whether you fail or pass the class, maybe, but a pop quiz.
Patrick Hite says, cheat on something important. Don't cheat on the little stuff.
If you are going to cheat, you know, cheat on something important. Don't you agree? I mean,
plagiarize your term paper. Don't cheat on a pop quiz.
That's right. I mean, come on, a pop quiz. You know, if you're going to throw your career away,
isn't
your
wife a teacher?
If you're going to throw the season away, do it on something big. You know, make sure you've gone in. Make it like Watergate.
If you're
going
to go out,
break in, you steal the exams, you know, answers or something.
Like Animal House is what you're talking about there.
Yes. I mean, come on, do it.
But
big.
Steal the right test if you're going to steal
That's
the
right.
test.
At least that way, if you get suspended, people can say, well, you know, it was an important exam. Not, it was a pop quiz.
National Education Association member, send your cards and letters to Patrick Hite, care of ACC Nation.
Roy Williams, he's going to the Hall of Fame, Chris. So we've known this for a while, but it happens this weekend. And he had a press conference this week along with Dean Smith. Dean Smith and Roy Williams side by side, and Dean talking good stuff about Roy Williams. So
I can imagine only that you passed out, what, once or twice during this press conference?
Dean Smith, have I ever mentioned I've got a big picture of Dean Smith? That it's got his face on it and the Dean Dome and all that stuff.
And that you named your children after Carolina basketball players and that kind of thing?
Yeah, one child.
One child, well.
Now, Alex Jordan Hite.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You picked a good one there.
Yeah, I see.
If you'd had a boy, I'm sure there'd be a Dean in the family, too.
Wake Forest renaming their football field, Chris. God, you got to feel bad for Henry Groves. I guess he's long since dead, I don't know. But he's the guy that gave them money a long time ago, and they built this Groves Stadium. Well, guess what? Somebody else has given them more money. BB&T Corporation has announced a 10-year agreement, and so it's going to be BB&T Field at Wake Forest University.
So we got BB&T Field, we got the RBC Center, which was something else before, the Comcast Arena.
Comcast, yeah, that's
at,
right.
University Whoever of Maryland. Gives you
money. We encourage any of these companies to contact ACC Nation because we will be more than happy to rename our studio or any, we'll rename ourselves
after you
if you want to give us money.
I got a middle name that really doesn't do me any good.
That's right. Chris BB&T Graham. And that's how we'll promo the show.
Nicknames are for sale. You know, I'll put a big tattoo on my head. That's you right. know, yeah. That's
Welcome to ACC Nation. I'm Patrick Budweiser Hite. That's Chris BB&T Graham.
Yeah, I'm all there.
Al Grow, Chris. You had to see this. They painted Beta Bridge. And tell everybody what Beta Bridge is.
Beta Bridge is, I'm sure every college campus has something like this. It's a bridge right there in the middle of Fraternity Road, really, on Rugby Road there at the University of Virginia, just down really from the rotunda, you know, so people get some landmark ideas there. It's a popular place, gets painted over every day, basically.
And they paint Grow Must Go on there, and I think they actually put the dollar figure of his contract, though it's not listed here in my story.
They put 1.7.
It's actually,
there's an escalator, so it's 1.8.
Yeah, 1.8.
I have to apologize for that. I wasn't aware of the escalator, and I have gotten the orange paint off my hands since then.
But do you like this? They asked Al Groh about it. He said, "I'm not familiar with the painting of Beta Bridge." You can just imagine him saying that. I mean, it's just, that's Al Groh. That's perfect Al Groh.
He's not familiar with
he's
it.
He's not yet. Familiar with the
And they talked to another player. I think it was Jordan Lipsy, maybe.
Yeah, Jordan Lipsy.
Who said that they must have done it when we were on the plane. Hey, you got to UVA for a reason, buddy. You land in Charlottesville and you see it there. Well, gosh, figure that out.
I want to ask you something else I saw about Jordan Lipsy. I saw that he said, is he a graduate student or something?
Yeah,
He said he lives off campus. You've always told me that if you're a UVA student, you don't call it campus.
You don't call
it
campus.
You've criticized me for calling it campus before.
You don't call it campus,
no. He called it campus. There's a quote that said, I live off campus. And I thought, wow, Chris would not like Jordan Lipsy after that.
Well, no, plus he said he had confidence in the offense. There's okay. Three things. There.
He's not real bright.
Let's just say this. Josh Portis wouldn't cheat off him.
Chase Rice, Chris, North Carolina linebacker, gone for the season, not because of academic problems, which is good. But it's bad that it's ligament damage in his left ankle. Yeah. So he's gone for the season.
Unlike Cooter and a couple of other guys, Barrington Edwards, issues either with his behavior, apparently.
Let's see. Freshman Bruce Carter is going to start. So a team that's very young gets even younger now.
It's even younger, yeah.
You know what? Well, I worry about that East Carolina game. Although I'm leaning toward picking the Tar Heels.
Yeah, there's a reason you're leaning that way. And it has more to do with Roy Williams and Dean Smith than anything else.
Here's a quote. Go back to that Al Groh thing. Here's a quote. Mike Bresky, the Wyoming defensive coordinator. Did you see this quote, Chris?
I did see
coaches
the quote.
Coaches never say anything this.
No.
He said, here's the quote. I kept thinking, when are they going to try to win the game?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he said it was 8 minutes left. It was a 13-3 game. He said that it's anybody's ball game at that point. We're waiting basically to see their game plan unfold.
Wow.
I'm still waiting to see what their game plan was. They had no game plan.
Riley Skinner is out, Chris. It has been confirmed. Jim Grobe says he has a mild separation of the throwing shoulder. So he will be out this Saturday. That's not good. This Saturday against Nebraska. Brett Hodges will get his first start. He came in relief of Skinner against BC last week.
Well, you know, Ben Mock, who's starting at Cincinnati, would look awful good right now.
He really would. And Harrison Beck's going to be the starter at NC State. Daniel Evans was named the starter. Talked to several people that said, once he's the starter, he's going to be your guy. He's going to be your guy because I think we actually had somebody on the show that said Tom O'Brien is of the thought that if you have, you know, more than one quarterback, you don't have any quarterback. So he's going to go with Daniel Evans. He went with him for a half. That's pretty good. And Harrison Beck came in, looked pretty good. He's been named the starter. And quickly, Chris, I just want to get your thoughts. We've talked about quarterback battles so much. Daniel Evans, we know how that fared. TJ Yates, he looked pretty good at Carolina. He was named Cullen Harper. He looked really good.
I don't know
if you'll see Willie Korn on the field anytime soon. Drew Weatherford, he'll be the starter still this week, but Xavier Lee's got to be happy. He's going to at least get closer to the field after that performance. Kirby Freeman, not that great, but I don't think there's any chance of him being removed before Oklahoma. Jordan Steffi, no chance of him being going anyplace. He has nobody to back him up now. How about this, though, Chris? Those are the quarterbacks that were in battles. Here's a quarterback that wasn't in any kind of battle. Is he in danger now? Jameel Sewell.
I think he could be in danger. They burned the red shirt of Pierre Lalish. So, true freshman. He was a very well-regarded recruit. And you have to wonder, if you're going to burn the kid's red shirt, you're not burning it just to play him for those two series against Wyoming. He's going to play some more this year. And I really think if Sewell struggles this weekend against Duke, you might see more of Lalish.
Taylor Bennett, Sean Glennon. They have some work to do, but there's no danger of them losing jobs.
I'm hearing talk about Tyrod Taylor. I'll just say that much at Virginia Tech.
And Thaddeus Lewis at Duke, he looked horrible, but the whole team did. So I don't think there's any. I think he threw three interceptions, but he's going to keep
probably,
his starting job.
That's a good week at Duke.
That's right. So I don't think Zach Izak's going to get any chance to be on the field. He got in in relief against UConn for like a series or something. So we'll see there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some Boston College football with Steve Conroy of the Boston Herald next.
Around ACC Nation, find out what's making news 7 days a week. ACCNation.com.
University of Virginia basketball has moved across the street, but U-Haul lore lives on. Mad About You, 4 decades of basketball at University Hall, an inside look at UVA basketball. More information at madaboutyou.net. Madaboutyou.net. Get your copy today.
We want to hear from you. Comment at accnation.com.
Still to come on the show, we're going to talk some college football with Eric Criswell of the Washington Post. We've also got our weekly picks, Chris, and the Sound and the Fury. We'll go over how the ACC did this past weekend. You say they didn't do very well.
Yeah,
I think they did okay.
So, yeah, I think it's obvious they didn't do very well.
We'll discuss that later. But right now, I want to talk about the one team we have to agree on did pretty well, Boston College.
Oh, yeah, we can agree on that.
They look good against Wake Forest, and joining us now, Steve Conroy of the Boston Herald. Steve, welcome into the nation.
Oh, thank you very much.
I guess let's start there. Give us your general assessment. There were a lot of questions coming into this game. How did the coaching change affect this team? A veteran team, but would they adjust to Coach Jags? Your general assessment of the Eagles after game one?
You know, there's coming into the opening game, there was a lot of questions surrounding the offense mostly. They're putting in a new zone blocking scheme and a whole new offense, a whole new approach to offense. And frankly, in the scrimmages, it didn't look all that pretty. But after Matt Ryan threw the first pick six, he looked as comfortable in the offense as George Clooney does in a tuxedo.
And does it even stand out more given that on that first series he throws the interceptions, return for a touchdown? I mean, here's a guy who didn't look good in the preseason in this new offense, and that's not a way to get comfortable with an offense. And he turns it around obviously very well.
Yeah, oh, he did. It's funny, Jeff Jagodzinski, when they went down 14-0, called up to offensive coordinator Steve Logan, said, "Hey, we're down 14-0," and Logan says, "Don't worry about it."
Don't worry. That's what you want to hear from your offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I just checked. That is our first George Clooney reference on ACC Nation. So that's,
there you go.
That's pretty good. Steve Conroy, the Boston Herald, joining us. Talk about that offensive line. That, I guess, of all the questions, that was the biggest. How did they perform, and what do you expect out of them for game two?
Well, they performed very well. I mean, that's the biggest question mark. They lost two very good offensive linemen in Josh Beekman and Jim Martin, off a line that frankly was up and down last year. So, and there was a lot of question marks as to how they were going to perform and adapt to the new zone blocking scheme. They played very well. They're just starting as a true freshman at right tackle. And when that happens, you have to scratch your head and say, is this kid that good, or is the cupboard that bare? But he played very well, and the line played very well. It was a very clean game, not a lot of penalties, especially for our first game of the season. It was fairly impressive.
Now, if there are questions going into to game two, one of those has to be around the kicking game, and I guess there's going to be a switch as far as kickoffs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Billy Bennett is going to kick off. He was one of the most highly touted kickers in the nation last year in high school, a kid from San Diego. And he's going to do the kicking off, and Steve Aponovich is going to continue doing the PATs and field goals for now. I mean, it's all open to change.
Also going into this weekend, of course, just guarding against being too keyed up for this return match, this chance to get back at Tom O'Brien, certainly for the fans anyway, that'll be part of the storylines here. Is that something that they're talking about this week, having to guard almost against being too emotional for this game?
They all say that they're trying to approach it as just another game, but obviously it's not. Not only is it Tom O'Brien, it's most of the coaching staff that's at NC State, and this is a different kind of deal. Everybody's asking about that. But also, especially with the defensive players, this is a team that beat them last year when they had no business beating them.
Talking to Steve Conroy of the Boston Herald, and it's along those lines, if you look at all the players, Matt Ryan, probably one of the closest players to Tom O'Brien. How do you think he'll deal with this return of his former coach?
I think he'll be fine with it. I think he's, he might say hello before the game and then catch up with him after the game. But you're right. I mean, there is something of a bond there. It was emotional when Tom O'Brien left here for everybody involved. He was here 10 years. He's the winningest coach of all time here. And he really left his mark here. So it is not just any other game, as some people would like to have you think.
Yeah, emotional for the players. I'm sure they hated to see him leave, and emotional for the fans because they were overjoyed that Tom O'Brien left, I believe.
That's a section of the fans.
What do you think the reaction is going to be from the fans when Obi comes back?
It's going to be, we're waiting to see that. I'm sure it will be mixed to some degree. I mean, they're you know, all the people who realize what Tom O'Brien did here, you know, pulling it out of the gambling scandal and bringing it back to respectability. And then there are the other parts of the fans who look at the big losses at NC State and North Carolina and Syracuse and say, you know, he took it as far as they could go, and they needed somebody to get the program over the hump.
Hey, Steve, what's the status of defensive tackle B.J. Raji? He was declared academically ineligible, but I guess Boston College has appealed to the NCAA about that. Where are we on that situation?
Yeah, they're hoping to hear something tomorrow. It's not positive that will happen, but they're hoping that they will hear something tomorrow. He was out there practicing today, so we'll see.
And I guess the last thing, any key injuries are going into this game against NC State? I know, I guess, running back was one concern there.
I'm sorry, L.V. Whitworth is back.
He is back, okay.
So, yeah, there are no major injuries.
Well, great. Well, Steve, we appreciate your time very much.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot to Steve Conroy of the Boston Herald joining us on ACC Nation. And, you know, this game, I think maybe everybody's been looking at it since it came out on the schedule. I think it's going to be one of those that's not quite as it's been overhyped, but I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of reaction from anybody come Saturday. It's just my feeling. You might hear some boos. You might hear a few fans boo when Tom O'Brien comes out, but I think you're going to hear some fans maybe offset that with applause. The smart fans that realize what he did for that program.
Well,
even if you're a fan, even if you're a fan that says he needed to go, he couldn't take that next step, you still have to realize where he got you to. You're at a position to take that next step. So I think you have to appreciate that.
I don't know how many fans actually think of these things too, but he took an opportunity that was good for him. I mean, a step up in terms of pay, obviously a huge step up in terms of pay, and the ability to, if he's able to do what he needs to do as a coach, he can recruit a lot better at a state school like NC State. So I don't know how many fans actually think of those things and say, well, he just took a better opportunity for him. I would do the same thing. Some fans look at that and say, yeah, screw the guy. Hey, boo, whatever, you know. So I think, though, in the end, yeah, there might be a little bit of reaction at the beginning of the game, but in the end, it's just not going to be that good of a game.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue talking some football next with Eric Prisbell of the Washington Post. You're listening to ACC Nation.
This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
ACCNation.com, your one-stop shop for everything ACC. Breaking news, columns, polls, links to what's making news, and the latest from Patrick and Chris. It's the place to be, everything ACC. ACCNation.com, ACCNation.com.
Click the chick for all your ACC Nation goodies at ACCNation.com. This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
Still to come on the show, Chris, the Sound and the Fury. We'll discuss whether the ACC had a good weekend or not in weekend number one. But
no, they didn't.
You know, I think they did, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Right now, we'll bring in our friend Eric Prisbell of the Washington Post. Eric, how you doing?
Great, guys. How are you?
Great.
We'll talk some general ACC football going into this weekend. I guess the big game, Virginia Tech and LSU. I give your assessment of this game, because before the season started, everybody pointed to this game and said, you know, the winner of this game could have a chance at a national championship. And then after Virginia Tech showing against East Carolina, everybody thought, well, LSU's going to roll. I think they're 13-point favorites or something now. Does Virginia Tech have a chance in this game?
Oh, absolutely. I think they definitely have a chance, but it's going to be as difficult of a scene as they're going to face all season long when you go to Baton Rouge, especially at night. I mean, just think about it. All those fans have the entire day to get all lathered up and, you know, foaming at the mouth for that one. It's going to, you know, start at 8 o'clock local time and end, you know, around midnight. So it's going to be just mayhem down there. And this is the game where you looked at before the season and you just knew that it was going to be one of the best non-conference matchups of the entire season. I mean, you have the storyline of Virginia Tech with a tragedy on their campus, LSU, 2 years after Katrina, and then you have the fact that it's two, you know, basically top five-ish teams in the national title ramifications. It's got everything. I just wonder if it's going to have enough points to go along with the great defensive play that we're going to see too, because these two teams are two of the best defenses in the country, probably.
And the offenses are struggling. Virginia Tech, obviously, with 17 points against ECU. I watched the LSU game against Mississippi State that first week, and even though they put up a big number in the end, the offense didn't really move the ball in that first half. I think Mississippi State threw four interceptions in that first half. They only had, I think it ended up scoring 17, LSU did, with a literally last-second touchdown there. But, you know, they didn't look impressive, even though they put up some big points there.
Absolutely right. I mean, Mississippi State has a pretty good defense. They have no offense, and LSU, they took advantage in that game based on their defense, and the offense, again, was slow to develop. That's an issue. You know, Matt Flynn's a quarterback. I still have questions about him replacing Jamarcus Russell. They're going to need to score points, but it's going to be a lot more difficult than it was against Mississippi State when they face a defense the caliber of Virginia Tech. And, you know, that just sets the stage for the other defenses they're going to face in the SEC Conference, which has some of the best in the country. So I think the same could be said for both teams, Virginia Tech and LSU. They have to get their offenses going, and it's going to be interesting to see which one does it.
Eric Prisbell of the Washington Post with us here on The Nation. Let's look at one of the other big non-conference games this weekend, Miami at Oklahoma. And this, to me, sort of goes the other way. But coming into the season, you wanted to think Miami might have a chance, but you figured Oklahoma would roll. Miami, pretty impressive in week one. Granted, it was Marshall, but they won 31-3. Talk about this game, Miami going into Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's become a little bit more intriguing because of how good Miami looked in that first week. I mean, Kirby Freeman played well, and I mean 9-21 or so, but the team overall I thought did very well in the first game under Randy Shannon, and he's doing a great job instilling discipline in that program, but also maintaining the confidence and really the swagger that they've had in the past when they were so dominant, and that's what they'll need to go into Norman and have a chance. I mean, this was a great matchup in the 1980s. And Miami's obviously has gone up and down since. But I think it's an intriguing matchup. I still think Oklahoma should win the game. I mean, DeMarco Murray just had a sensational game against pretty much no competition last week. But it's an intriguing matchup. I'm interested to see what Miami can do. I don't quite think they could pull it off, but I wouldn't be surprised if they keep it close for a while.
One other interesting non-conference matchup involving an ACC team, Wake Forest hosting Nebraska. Nebraska fans taking over Winston-Salem, at least we've been told that was going to be the case. Riley Skinner, his availability for this game might be a question. I haven't heard the latest on that, but you would think Wake would need to be at full strength given what happened last weekend at Boston College. Assess that game for us if you could.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You would think they need to be at full strength. But, I mean, Jim Grobe just does a tremendous job in getting these guys to compete, regardless of the situation, regardless of the opponent. I mean, he's one of the most underrated coaches in the country. And we saw what he could do last year, you know, when nobody really thought they could compete for the ACC title. I think it's a really dangerous game for Nebraska. They have USC coming to Lincoln the following week. I'm going to be at that game covering it. Everybody's going to be at that game. The attention's already started, and the hype has started for that matchup. Well, they're playing the defending ACC champion. So, yeah, maybe Wake Forest is going to be a little bit depleted, but they can't overlook them, and it's in Winston-Salem. I just think Nebraska should win. This is the team that needs to get a breakthrough victory, and that opportunity comes at USC. But if they slip up against Wake Forest, that could derail the whole season.
Eric Prisbell of the Washington Post joining us here on ACC Nation. You were in Wyoming. You were in Laramie last weekend. I feel sorry for you for having to watch that game. How is the Virginia team as bad as they looked on TV?
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game. Just beautiful scenery all around, beautiful setting, and just a downright ugly, brutal performance by Virginia, as ugly as you can imagine. I mean, there's no other way to put it. The score, I think, was 23-3, but it was nowhere near even that close. I mean, it could have been a 44-3 game or something like that. Virginia could not run the ball at all. They Jameel Sewell overthrew receivers, underthrew receivers that were open. They couldn't do anything on offense, on defense. They applied some pressure to Wyoming's quarterback, but he did a great job in converting third downs and just moving the ball down the field, controlling the clock for about two-thirds of the game. And it was dominated by a Wyoming team who is a good team and is supposed to have a good season, but this isn't like a TCU or a Boise State as far as non-BCS teams. It's a good non-BCS team. There's no way if you're, you know, a formidable ACC team that you should go on the road and get blown out like that against a non-BCS team. That said, it's one game, and while it is very alarming, I'm just hesitant to put so much stock into it because Virginia's got so many guys back, especially on defense, that, you know, I think we got a whole season ahead of us. I think they should still be in the mix for, you know, a 6-7-win season, but you know, I certainly wouldn't go any more than that, but I also wouldn't go the other way and say it's a 2 or 3 win year at this point.
So no alarms. The Duke's coming into town this weekend. No hope that the Dukies might be able to end that 21-game losing streak.
They better. I mean, if Virginia better against Duke. That's what I mean. I mean, if Virginia plays that well, plays that way that they did against Wyoming against Duke, then, you know, you're going to have alarms going off all around Charlottesville. They can't do that. They need a strong performance against the just hapless Blue Devils who can't seem to win a game, you know, for anything at this point. And then maybe Virginia can start to get back on track. But if they struggle again, and if it's up and down and they can't move the ball offensively, then there's some serious concern in Charlottesville.
Now, here's one thing. Duke's last win was against the Virginia team. I think VMI was the last team they beat. So it could happen this week, Chris. I'm talking to Eric Prisbell of the Washington Post. Tell us about Georgia Tech. Here's a team that destroyed Notre Dame, but you cover national football. So how much stock should we put in that? Because I'm hearing so much negative stuff coming out about the Irish this week.
A lot. Yeah, I mean, everywhere you look. Notre Dame is such a brutal 8-game stretch to open the season. They're going to win about 1 or 2 games probably to start the season in their first 8 games. But so they got a lot of issues, and Georgia Tech just thumped them in every way possible. And Georgia Tech's defense looked like second coming of Chicago Bears out there. I think it even surprised Chan Gailey a little bit how dominant they were against the Irish in South Bend. I just think it's a little bit of I just don't quite think they're that good at this point. No one expected that performance. I think it says more about Notre Dame and where their season is, where their team is right now. They're rebuilding. I mean, regardless of what Charlie Weiss says, they're in rebuilding mode. They need speed on defense. They need someone who can play quarterback, and they need skill position players who can make plays, and they don't have that right now, and, you know, that's why we're going to see their record-wise, you know, that play out during the first 2 months of the season. And so I think that performance by Georgia Tech says more about Notre Dame at this point.
And we'll get you out of here on this one. Just your thoughts on Clemson and Florida State. The Clemson team looked so good early on in that game. And then it was sort of a microcosm of their season last year. They start off so hot, and then they sort of fell apart down the stretch and had to hold on for the win. Where do you see these two teams sort of shaking out this season?
I agree with that, and it seems to always play out like that for Clemson. I mean, there's no coach more comfortable, really, for being on the hot seat than Tommy Bowden. Almost every year he's in the same position and figures out a way to wiggle himself out of it and get off the hot seat, and it's probably going to be the same case this year. I mean, the game shouldn't have been that close based on how it was playing out during the first couple quarters, and, you know, it turned out to be some close, dramatic, suspenseful moments at the end. But I think Florida State should be improved. I really felt that way going into the season, but their schedule's tough. I mean, they also get Alabama in Jacksonville. I think they have to maybe go to Colorado to play, what should be an improved Colorado team. So I think Florida State should be improved. I really do, but I don't think it may be reflected in their record. And Clemson, I think it'll play out like it has the last couple of years, where they're going to have some good wins, and then they're going to struggle in games they shouldn't struggle in, and people are going to be wondering whether Tommy Bowden can get it going in the right direction, and take it to the next level. And maybe he'll probably sneak out of it again and keep his job that way.
Hey, for our listeners in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, when's the next time we can catch you on Washington Post Live? Every now and then I turn it on, I see you on there, so...
Whenever I'm I'm not sure. Whenever I'm in town, they usually try to get me on, and I'm on the road a lot during the college football season, so I'm not sure what the upcoming schedule is, but it's Washington Post Live is on every day from, I think it's now between 5 and 6 p.m. on Comcast, and it's a variety of writers talking about a variety of subjects each day.
Yeah, I don't care what Tony Kornheiser says. I like that show. So, hey, Eric, we appreciate your time very much.
Great, Patrick, Chris. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Eric Prisbell of the Washington Post. Now, Tony Kornheiser, not a fan. If you listen to his radio show, which he actually ended back in June so he could go do Monday Night Football, he hates Washington Post Live. He said it's the worst show he's ever seen. But you know, it's not that bad. In fact, Tony said he couldn't watch it. He has to turn the TV off. It's so bad. I don't think it's that bad. And occasionally Eric's on there. So I check it out just to see Eric Prisbell.
Didn't Tony get his start on a show like that? Maybe that's why he doesn't like it.
He just hates it. Every chance he got on the radio show to trash that show, he did. And he's on Washington Post radio.
Yeah.
He sort of works for the Washington Post.
He still sort of has a column
occasionally
with him, doesn't he?
Occasionally he does a column or a columnette. So anyway, we want to thank Eric, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do weekend picks next, Chris. Be thinking. We got a lot of good games. And you're tied for first. I'll give you that hint. You're tied for first.
Good to hear.
Going into week two. We'll be back after this.
Be a part of ACC Nation at myspace.com/ACC Nation. This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
University of Virginia basketball has moved across the street, but U-Haul lore lives on. Mad About You, 4 decades of basketball at University Hall, an inside look at UVA basketball. More information at madaboutyou.net. Madaboutyou.net. Get your copy today.
This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
Still to come on the show, Chris, the Sound and the Fury, but it's time now for everybody's favorite segment, well, at least our favorite segment. You know, I really don't even care for this segment that much, but weekend picks where we...
I live for this segment.
You know, it's usually good because we usually have some fabulous guest on that makes picks with us. Last week we had Kat Whitehill before she went to China for the Women's World Cup. She joined us to make picks. But it's Labor Day weekend, a week, and we struggled this week. Yeah. We had a few people that said, oh, I'll do it, and then for whatever reason they couldn't.
And I don't think the folks in the front office are very happy with us for that.
Because now here's what we're stuck with. The Evil Q is going to join us as our guest predictor this week. Evil, are you there?
You have absolutely lowered your standard beyond any comprehension. But this time, and this time only, I'll help you out.
Thank you, because here's what happened. Like, merely minutes before we started recording the show, we said, we need somebody to make picks with us. How about the Evil Q? So that's how this works.
And I think my answer was, why not?
What the heck? So
I think you guys are looking for a patsy this week so you can boost your numbers. That's what you're looking for.
That would help. That would help. Last week, actually, Chris doesn't need too much help. Last week, Chris went 8-2. He tied with Kat Whitehill. They both went 8-2 last week. And I'm bringing up the rear at 7-3. Virginia messed me up last week. I picked them. I thought the Cavs would win. You and Kat both went Wyoming, and you got it right. Plus, somebody on the blog said kudos. Who was it? I think Fred Turk gave kudos to Chris for picking both Wyoming and Central Florida. Chris, you got both of the semi-upsets.
I'm a seer, but I didn't win the lottery, so I'm not that much of a seer.
So let's start this week, Chris. Duke and Virginia. Wow, what a great matchup that's going to be.
And
we thought coming in it was going to be one lousy team and one pretty good team. Now it just ends up being two lousy teams.
I really, really want to take Duke in this game. I don't know that I can do that. I will take Virginia, but can I just acknowledge that I really, really want to take Duke?
Chris is taking Virginia, but he's holding his nose as he does it. Evil Q, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, you're an extremely brave guy picking Virginia in this game. And I'm going to go down the same path. Duke football, it doesn't compute. Virginia takes this game. Al Groh actually lowers the heat just a notch on his rear.
Not much.
No, I don't think so, because beating Duke, that's not going to mean anything.
The 3-0 victory that they'll get won't lower the heat.
I think they'll win handily. You know, I think I mentioned this someplace. Virginia struggled last week, but Duke's just out and out bad. So, you know, I don't worry about this. Virginia will win this game. Even if it was in Durham, Virginia would win, but Virginia wins this game, and they win it easily.
What, you think they could win on the road at Duke with those 1,000 throng of fans?
They win it easily. They win this game probably by 3 touchdowns.
That assumes they're going to score three touchdowns. I'm not sure about that.
ULM at Clemson. Who the heck is that? Louisiana Monroe?
Monroe, yeah.
Let's go there. Clemson, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde last week against Florida State. They started off horrible. And then
they'll be both this week, but it won't matter.
They start off great, and then they finish horrible.
They're playing Louisiana Monroe. Let's go with Clemson.
Evil Q, are you going to make it? I'll go with Clemson. So is Evil Q going to make this unanimous?
Louisiana who? Clemson Tigers undoubtedly are just going to stomp whatever that team is into the ground.
Yeah, let's get the bad games out of the way first. Samford at Georgia Tech. Is that like Samford and Son?
Well, the Sun didn't make it. He didn't make it. Just Samford.
Samford. Well, that's going to even be easier then for Georgia Tech if the Sun couldn't.
Couldn't make it. Yeah, he's got to work the
Samford. Actually, that's Florida State. Bobby Bowden, didn't he coach at Samford?
I think he did.
And didn't Terry Bowden coach at Samford? See, they got tradition.
But the important thing is they both left.
They both left. That was a stepping stone. I'll take the Jackets right now. They look like the class of the ACC.
Georgia Tech. Well, Boston College maybe. We'll come up to them later, though.
Evil Q.
No brainer, Georgia Tech.
And it's good, since you have no brain, that works out well. UAB at Florida State.
I don't know.
No, Chris,
Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State wins that game. Evil.
Oh, wow. You know, I may be the guy that, I'm close to walking up on the end of the pier here on this game because Florida State, I'm just not really sure that.
Come on, they played well in the second half, you know.
Yeah, second half, but boy.
UAB.
UAB.
Maybe a good basketball team at a long time ago.
Okay.
Gene Bartow's not coaching this football team, though. That's the problem.
You know, just to offend Bobby Bowden, you know, no, I'm not going to go this route. Bowden's team is just barely going to pull this one out. I'll give it to Florida State.
One more lousy game, or at least a game that probably won't be competitive. Although it was last year, Maryland at FIU, Florida International.
Yeah, they only Maryland won this game
14-10.
Oh, yeah, less than a touchdown.
Won
right,
it 14-10, and Maryland won this game. Although, better team this year, I'm going to go with Maryland.
I don't know if they're that much better, but they'll win this game.
And the game's in Florida, which is in Miami. I guess this game, is it in the Orange Bowl?
The Orange Bowl.
It's in
yeah.
the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Evil Q, what do you think?
Just to tweak Fred Turp a little bit, Florida takes this game.
No, you can't. You're picking Florida International. Okay, fine. There we go. That helps our record some. This is exactly why we got the evil
He's people letting in. Cat Whitehill down already.
Okay, let's go to the actual games that should be good. We'll start North Carolina at East Carolina. I don't know. Carolina looked good. North Carolina looked good.
So did East Carolina, actually.
East Carolina looked pretty good, too. We'll let Evil Q pick this game first. The Pirates or the Tar Heels?
Man, you know something? I hate to offend you, Patrick, but I'm taking East Carolina over North Carolina in this game. You know,
I am too, actually.
Every time I see you, I'm offended, so don't worry about that. I'm going with the Tar Heels. Let's ride this all the way. East Carolina looked good. And I know this is a sucker pick. I know as a Carolina guy, I'm going to end up losing this game, but I'm still going. Until they lose, I'm going to pick Carolina.
This weekend will be when you start changing that tactic up.
No, actually, they
Patrick,
played, yes.
Do you remember how we pulled a quick one on Chris last year? It was that technicality thing that we pulled on him. I say that you just say, I'll pick Carolina and either way.
That's what I should do. But no, I'm a Tar Heel born and bred. I'm going North Carolina to win this game.
And then next weekend you'll
then
be Tar Heel
beat
dead,
Virginia.
So
then they'll beat Virginia the next week and they will start off 3-0. And there'll be talks of bowl games in Chapel Hill. Now here's the really good games. North Carolina State at Boston College.
This won't be a good game.
Okay,
it's got a good
storyline around it. How about that?
Boston College.
Evil Q, what do you think?
Eagles take it.
Yeah, I think they will too. At home, NC State struggling. They lose a running back, and they've already made a switch at quarterback. It took them a whole half to make a switch at quarterback. Yeah, Boston College wins this game. And then that's there's three games left. That are just excellent, excellent games. What we think? Miami at Oklahoma. This is a good game, Chris.
Wow.
I'm going with the upset, Chris. Miami is going to win this game. That defense looked like the Miami defense from several years ago.
They were playing Marshall.
I don't care. That's still Marshall.
No Randy Moss.
We
no
are
Chad
Marshall.
Pennington. Yeah.
Marshall had a movie made about them. They're pretty good.
Lots and lots and lots of Boomer Sooner. Oklahoma rolling in this game.
They're going to roll.
They're going to roll in this game.
Evil Q, Miami or the Sooners?
Shannon gets a dose of reality. The Sooners take this one.
Go Canes. Nebraska at Wake Forest. You know what? I would have given Wake Forest a shot if Riley Skinner was playing.
Yeah.
Without Riley Skinner, and I know they did this last year. They went to their third string quarterback, which happened to be Riley Skinner, and they had an ACC championship season. Not this year. Nebraska wins this game.
I think Nebraska wins in convincing fashion.
Evil Q, what do you think?
Anybody's got a name like Cornhuskers has got to be pretty tough, right? We'll take Nebraska.
Well, they were pretty tough back in the 80s, but and then they're getting back to that. They're getting back to that point now. You know, I think they're going to be caught. They could be caught looking ahead. This is what Eric Prisbell told us, right? Caught looking ahead to USC. But
right.
Still, I think they win this game. And the big game on the schedule, it's our big game. If you go to accnation.com, we've got previews about both of these teams. Chris and I make our predictions there. Virginia Tech at LSU. Evil Q, what do you think?
Oh, I knew you would throw this one at me first.
Yeah, you know, dead air doesn't work really well at all.
It doesn't work well, does it?
It's got to make a pick, okay?
I'm going to take Virginia Tech, but it's going to be by the hair on their chinny chin chin.
Chris, your prediction's already on the website, so you got to sort of stick by this.
LSU convincingly. I said to score 20-3.
I'm going with Tech. I think Tech wins this game. I think I stated on the on ACCNation.com that if you're looking at defenses, LSU's is good. I think Tech's is better. I think Virginia Tech's defense is better. I think they will. Sean Glennon will have a better season, better game this week. The offensive line will improve.
He can't have a worse game.
They will. You know, he didn't play that horrible. He did not play that horrible. Chris hates Sean Glennon. He did not play that horrible against East Carolina. He struggled at times, but the offensive line has to be blamed for part of that. I think they win this game. I think my final score is 14-12.
Yeah, an offensive line that can't block ECU is going to turn it around against LSU.
They will turn it around, and they will win this game 14-12. Mark it down.
Okay.
So there you go, Evil. We appreciate it very much, and we'll call on you again later this year if we are desperate, okay?
I would say any time, but, you know, I don't mean that sincerely.
Yeah, no, if we called you next week, I would imagine the heads would roll probably. So thank you very much, though.
Anytime.
Evil Q, he did say anytime. He said he wasn't going to say anytime, and then he said anytime.
He didn't mean it. He was disingenuous.
So there you go, Chris. You know, I'm already a game behind. I have a feeling I'm going to fall even further. I'm going with the upsets this
week.
You're
going with upsets at every one of
those Miami.
Games.
Well, no, not Nebraska. I took Nebraska.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech. I took
UNC.
Miami. I took Carolina. Well, those are the three upsets.
That's a toss-up game, certainly. But
well, sort of, except that, you know, I do worry. East Carolina. North Carolina, they beat JMU. But you know, they're still the North Carolina team that's young and inexperienced.
Hey, they beat a good 1AA team. Not everybody in the country did that last week.
No, not everybody did. No, not, you know, it's not a given anymore if you play a 1AA team. I saw a story where Appalachian State gear is going hot and heavy in Columbus.
Yeah.
Ohio State fans love this. Of course they would. I mean, that's the biggest rivalry in college football.
That's better than Ohio State beating Michigan.
That's right. I think that is. So there's our picks. You can check them out on the web, accnation.com. Check it out. We'll take a break. Sound and Fury is next.
The ACC's hottest blog on accnation.com. This is ACC Nation with Patrick and Chris.
University of Virginia basketball has moved across the street, but U-Haul lore lives on. Mad About You, 4 decades of basketball at University Hall, an inside look at UVA basketball. More information at madaboutyou.net. Madaboutyou.net. Get your copy today.
And now, the Sound and Fury.
Hey, be sure to check out accnation.com, winners and losers. Butch Davis, a winner. Sean Glennon, a loser. The ACC, both. See what Chris Graham has to say about that. Question of the week, should Al Groh be fired? Be sure to check that out and vote in our poll. The Tuesday 12, Jordan Steffi just became a lot more important to Maryland football. And is Georgia Tech's defense the best in the ACC? I'll give you a hint. I think it is. I think Virginia Tech's defense is better than LSU's, but Georgia Tech's is better than Virginia Tech's. The big story, I love this. Talking to Dave Lato, Chris, you had a eureka moment.
I had a eureka moment. There's an exclamation point.
Oh,
there
it was.
Too.
That's right. Yeah. Lato told you that facility expansion in college sports had to become an arms race, so you couldn't let that go. So you talked to a lot of people, administrators, coaches, whatever, for this story. So check it out. It's the big story on facility expansion. And our game of the week, we've got previews about Virginia Tech, LSU, and our predictions are on there as well. Time now for the Sound and Fury. You can check this out on accnation.com. Chris, we talked about it all offseason. The ACC needs to win some non-conference games if they're going to be a player on the national stage. They did better than than not, I guess, this weekend. They went 5-3 against non-conference teams. Was that good enough for you?
No, it was not. Because the wins that were put out there, Maryland and Carolina both beating 1AA teams, Maryland not so impressive. Carolina did what they needed to do to dispatch of JMU, and they looked good.
Somebody in this room, tell me who it was, picked JMU to win that game.
The mistake that I made, I knew a 1AA team was going to beat a 1A team. I just got the wrong one.
Okay,
so
I'll let you off on that then.
So, and then Virginia Tech beating ECU, we'll find out later in the season why, if this was really a struggle or if ECU's a lot better than we think, but, Virginia Tech couldn't block them. The running game was horrible, 71 yards on 31 carries. Brandon Orr only 23 carries for 70 yards.
The defense looked pretty good. Come on.
The defense looked good.
The defense held them to 7 points, and they had a touchdown on an interception.
142 yards rushing for that East Carolina team. A team last year, Virginia Tech, first in the nation against run.
But they didn't score. They didn't score that much. So
So when they play LSU, you think 142 yards rushing is not going to translate into more points?
I don't know if it will. LSU doesn't strike me as a great team rushing. I don't think, they've got question marks on their offense. I really don't think LSU's as great as everybody's making them out to be.
Let's be fair. LSU struggled last week on the road against a team.
It's a really bad team. Mississippi State's horrible. Their coach may not make it through the season.
East Carolina not much better. And at least LSU, when they struggle with 45 points. Bottom line, Georgia Tech beating Notre Dame, that's nice. Notre Dame's going to maybe start 1-7.
They went into Notre Dame. They went to Notre Dame and won that game.
There's nothing to hang your hat on here.
No, it is. It's a lot to hang your hat on. Georgia Tech winning impressively. Tashard Choice put his name in the race for the Heisman Trophy. He had almost 200 yards rushing, and he was everywhere. You got Boston College. Okay, it wasn't a non-conference game, but they looked really good. You got to think, and they're going to have their chance at some non-conference games coming up, although not the first 3 weeks of the season, but they look pretty good. No, I Virginia Tech, call me naive, Chris. I think it's the emotion. I think the emotion played into that some. And yeah, I know the offensive line had problems. Sean Glennon had problems, but I really think they're a much better team than they showed. And you'll see it. You will see how good a team they are Saturday night.
I think we will. And I don't think it's going to be very good.
They're going to be really good.
Sean Glennon got sacked 4 times. I don't blame the offensive line for that as much as I blame him. He doesn't get rid of the ball fast enough.
Well, he doesn't. He's got questions, but I really think that at least they won that game. North Carolina looked good. Miami looked really good. You can say it's just Marshall, but they looked really good. This Miami team starting. You are the one that touted Miami in the offseason saying you like them. You picked them second in the Coastal. You think they're going to be really good. I'm on board now. I really think this Miami team is looking exceptional. So
NC State loses to Central Florida,
but rallied. They rallied behind Harrison Beck.
They still lost.
They rallied. They almost won.
They lost.
There's
no
really
almost winning.
The only really bad losses were Duke, and that didn't count because it's Duke.
It's Duke
and Virginia. That's the only bad loss. Virginia.
Virginia's a bad loss. There weren't any good wins. The bad loss being a 23-3 loss. As Eric Criswell said, it might as well have been 100-3.
Check out what we had to say. ACCNation.com. It's the Sound and Fury. All those other stories I mentioned are on there as well. Sign up for our newsletter. Make sure you take part in the listener survey. All kinds of things to do on ACC. ACCNation.com. It's a fun place to go, Chris. You can go there and spend, if you're bored at work, go to ACCNation.com and spend time on our site.
We'll lighten you up.
So I've encouraged people to cheat this week and to waste time at work. Oh, I tell you what, I'm doing good.
ACC Nation, we're good for the country.
That is it. I want to thank Eric Criswell. Also thank Steve Conroy of the Boston Herald. Eric's with the Washington Post, by the way. Thank the Evil Q. That's Chris. I'm Patrick. Have a good weekend.
This is ACC Nation, the nation's hottest multimedia sports franchise, ACC Nation, where you'll find worldwide access to America's hottest sports conference, the ACC, through our website, www.accnation.com, blogs, podcasts, radio, and at myspace.com/ACC Nation. ACC Nation is a production of Communications of Virginia, LLC. All rights reserved. I am the Evil Q. Ta-ta.